The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf Tzadik Gimel. Today's daf has been dedicated by our dear friend, Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem yishmeru v'chayehu. May God give him beracha, blessing, hatzlacha, success, health and happiness. Peace of mind for him, his wife, his family, his children. And Be'ezat Hashem, may he enjoy prosperity and good things. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Nishmat Avram ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenihanu b'gan Eden. Amen. And that's Lahat Yosef ben Simcha. Shemishminu v'hayehu. Amen. We are starting today's daf on Sadi Bet Amud Bet. And we are four lines on the bottom, starting from the words Amar l'shtakish. Now just to review, the context of this next statement was said when Rabbi Yanai made a statement. He said, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Bahabura. But the group of rabbis, Nimnu Vegamru, the rabbis concluded and voted, and they said that En Kibushim Tofsim Bibama, which means the Yibama, that fell to Yibum, and instead of going with the Yibam, she went and married somebody else. So Rabbi Yanai says, we voted and said, the Kiddushin is not Tofes, meaning she doesn't need a get. Like we said, Kiddushin not Tofes. So Rabbi Yohanan came along and said, what do you need your Habura? It's a Mishnah. So Rabbi Yanai came along and said that, so that was Rabbi Yohanan's statement back. Rabbi Yohanan came along and said, Rabbi, lo mishnatenu izu? Isn't it a Mishnah? Ditnan, ha'omed li'isha, that whole Mishnah over there. So Amar Leh, so Rav Yanai tells him back, Ilav didalai lach haspa. If I didn't cover up, take off the pottery, mi mashkarat margarita tute, would you have found the pearl underneath it? Which means, based on my interpretation that I gave, now you understand the Mishnah. Because you could have, what was the point in that Mishnah? Let's review that. The point in that Mishnah was, a person, let's say, tells a lady, Areat mekudeshet li, on the condition that it'll be hal after you make a halitza, which means she was felti yibum. So a third guy comes along and says, you know, Areat mekudeshet li after the halitza. So we understood that the logic of the Mishnah, why the Gemara Mishnah says it's not mekudeshet, is because since at that point, if there would be no kiddushin, since it's before halitza, if she would go to marry this guy, there would be no kiddushin. So therefore, if it cannot be hal now, it's not hal. So that's a proof to what Rabbi Yanai said. So Rabbi Yohanan said, what are you talking about over here? It's a Mishnah. So Rabbi Yanai comes along and says, no, without my interpretation, you could have learned the Mishnah differently. How would you have learned the Mishnah? You would have learned the Mishnah and said, really, I'll tell you, could be it is a kiddushin now. Meaning in the sense that if a man goes with the yibama before halitza, it could be hal. But the problem over here is, en adam makne davar shelo ba le'olam. But over here the issue is, shelo ba le'olam, you cannot make a kinyan on something that did not happen yet. And since the halitza didn't take place yet, the kinyan is not hal. So he says, that's why I revealed the fear. I uncovered the pottery to tell you that the real reason of that Mishnah is what? The real reason of the Mishnah is because, bottom line, the kiddushin is not hal at that moment. So comes the Gemara and says, Amal Ishtakish, Ilav de Kalsach Gavra Rabba, which means, if you weren't praised by a great man, which means, the Ishtakish is telling Rabbi Yohanan, if Rabbi Yanai didn't praise you, it seems that when Rabbi Yohanan brought this Mishnah as a support to Rabbi Yanai's statement, it seems Rabbi Yanai praised him. And Rabbi Yanai told him, nice try from the Mishnah, but if it wasn't for my statement, you wouldn't have understood the Mishnah. So he said, if it wasn't for the fact that a Gavra Rabba, like Rabbi Yanai praised you, Hava Amina Lach Ana, I could have came along and said, Matnitin Rabbi Akivahi. I could have learned that Mishnah that says the Kiddushin is not Hal. It's going according to Rabbi Akivahi, Damar in Kiddushin Tofsin, B'chaybe Lavin. Which means, I would have said like this. You know what the reason of that Mishnah is? Why you tell me when a guy says, Arat mekudeshet li, after the Halitza, I'll tell you because in such a case, it's following the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva holds that if you would make a Kiddushin at this point over there, it's Chaybe Lavin. And Kiddushin is not tofes B'chaybe Lavin. So it's got nothing to do with the Shita of is Kiddushin as a proof to Rabbi Anai's statement. Rabbi Anai's statement was what? That when the lady goes with somebody else, the Yibamah, there's no Kiddushin. So Rabbi Yohanan came along and said, what do you mean? It's a Bifurush Mishnah. So now the Shekish is saying, no, I could have learned the Mishnah differently. I could have learned the reason in the Mishnah. Why are you telling me it's in Kiddushin? Is because it's going to Rabbi Akiva Shita. And Rabbi Akiva Shita says, in Kiddushin Tofsin B'chai Ve'Lavin. And this is Chai Ve'Lavin. And that's the reason why it's no good. So the Gemara says, wait. The Ida Rabbi Akiva, Ki Amar La Lachashiyach Lot Zlich Yibimech Litfese Ba Kiddushe. Da Shama'ina Le Rabbi Akiva Da Amar Adam Makne Davar Shlo Ba Le'olam. Gemara says, wait. We know Rabbi Akiva Shita is, like we're going to see in a moment, he's the opinion that what? Adam Makneda Vashiloba Le'olam. A person can make a kinyan on something that did not yet happen yet. And therefore, if you say that the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, the Kiddushin shouldn't be a Kiddushin. Because even though right now the Kiddushin cannot be Hal, but since he should be Makneh Al Davashiloba Le'olam, so technically Rabbi Akiva should say it's a Kiddushin because it's going to be Makneh after the Halitza is done. Even though the Halitza was not done now, Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, Kiddushin is Hal, Davashiloba Le'olam. So how can you say the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva? If the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, it would be Kiddushin. So the Gemara, how do you know that? Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Kunam she'ani oseh lepicha. Let's say you have a lady. She makes a vow against her husband. And she says, whatever melakah I do for you, is going to be forbidden to your mouth like a korban. She makes such a vow. In sarik lafer. Mishnah says, husband doesn't have to be mefer such a neder. She has no right to make such a neder. Because bottom line, we know that all the work of the lady belongs to the husband. So she has no right to undo it through a vow, the rights that belong to the husband. Since already her ma'asiya adeya are subjugated to the husband, she cannot make a neder against it. Rabbi Akiva omer, yafer. Rabbi Akiva says no, he has to make kafara. Why? Sheme, it's the aleph, sheme ta'adif. Alav yoter menara uido, which means like this: there's a certain amount of monies that a lady's obligated to give a husband. Why is she obligated to give a husband? Because the husband supports her. But the Gemara Ketubot gives a certain amount that over and above that amount she gets to keep it legally. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says you have to make. He has a right to break such a neder. He has to break such a neder. Why? Because the lady might make over and above the amount that she's obligated to give her husband, and therefore she'll be able to keep it. And therefore, if he wants that neder to be broken, he has to say that he's nullifying it. Because the lady over here made a neder. What she said, that all my ma'asei yadayim are going to be forbidden to you like a korban. So the first shita says nothing. It's nullified automatically. The husband doesn't have to be nullified because she has no right to make such a neder. Rabbi Akiva says, no, he has to nullify it. Because in the event, if she makes over and above the amount that she's able to keep now, so therefore if the husband doesn't want her to keep that over and above amount, he's got to nullify it. So the Gemara says, what's the Gemara proving from here? Lo ba'alei olam. She didn't make that money yet. And still you're seeing what? The neder is hal. So you see the Rabbi Akiva holds what? A person can make a kinyan on the vashel lo ba'alei olam. Kibra says, no proof. Ha'itmar Allah marvuna bered of Yeshua be'omeret yikadshu yadai le'osehem. The way she made the neder is like this. My hands are going to be sanctified le'osehem, meaning they're going to be forbidden to the husband. So she's not forbidding the future. She's saying, whatever my hands do is going to be forbidden. Her hands, the Gemara says, the yadai itnu ba'alma. Her hands are already in the world. And therefore, it's not considered makneh davashilo ba'olam. Which means, you're right, it's talking about the things that she's going to make in the future. But she's not saying the money that I make in the future. She says, whatever my hands do is going to be for myself. I'm not giving to you. Yadayim already is in the world. And therefore, it's not makneh davashilo ba'olam. Therefore, when the Rabbi Akiva says, you have to make... No, ma'asei yadayim, her hands. She's forbidding her hands. Whatever my hands are forbidden to my husband. And then, which means, whatever she does with her hands. And therefore, already she's offsetting something that's here. So therefore, the Rabbi Akiva says that you're right, the husband has a right to make a farat. Then that he look at the Rashi. Rashi says, just the words, Shemet Ta'adif Alav, that was the first shita, right? We said that maybe she'll make over and above the amount. Itnan, Ma'i Osa lo Mishkal Hisselaim. Etc. More than that, she's not mishabed to the husband. On the extra, that's what it is going to be hal. Even though the melakah was not done yet, that was the question against the Akiva. She's makne davashu malam. No, her language was on my hands. I'm osering, and therefore the hands are here, and therefore it's considered that she is not. It is davar sheva laolam. Comes the Gemara and says. Very good. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ufniga the Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak." This is arguing against Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. The mother of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Huna, count the rabbis here. Rav Huna, Kirav holds like Rav. V'Rav Kirabi Yanai, V'Rabi Yanai Kirabi Chaya, V'Rabi Chaya Kirabi, V'Rabi Kirabi Meir, V'Rabi Meir Kirabi the Eitz Ben Yaakov, V'Rabi the Eitz Ben Yaakov Kirabi Akiva. She's all those rabbis. Back to back, rabbi to rabbi to rabbi, hold what? The Amar Adam Mekne Davar Shelo Ba Le'olam. All those opinions hold, including Rabbi Akiva, which is on this list, that indeed, yes, Adam Mekne Shelo Ba Le'olam. Now for the rest of the Gemara, I'm just going to prove you how we know these, all these rabbis are of that opinion. So Gemara says, Rav Huna Mai. Where do you see Rav Huna that says you can be Mekne Davar Shelo Ba Le'olam? Deitmar. Person, let's say, sells a. There's a guy has a tree. He doesn't sell the tree to his friend. He sells the fruit of that tree, but the fruit didn't come out yet. It was the winter. There was no fruit yet. He said, "I'm selling you the fruit from now when they come out in the summer." So listen, if the fruit didn't come out yet, didn't blossom yet, the seller has a right to back out. But once they blossom, once the fruits come out, he cannot retract. Why? Because the kinyan is a kinyan. Even though the kinyan was made at a time where the fruit did not come into the world. So what do you see, Kod Rav Huna? That indeed Adam, because if a person was not able to be makneh, I would say, what's this? Even when they came out, the sale was not a sale. Because it was made at a time when they were not in the world. So you see, from the fact that he says the sale is a sale, that shows you why. That indeed can be makneh davar shebaal olam. Look at Rashi, mocher perot dekel bimot hageshamim. But he sells the fruit in the winter months. Ad shelo baal olam im ba lachzor bo kodim nisan. He's allowed to retract before Nisan. Sheaz eilanot motzin, because that's when the fruit starts to come out. Then yachol lachzor bo. Mishebaal le olam in yachol lachzor bo. Dechi atu, because once already the fruit come out, hayils bine. The sale is valid. Alma adam makneh davar shelo baal olam. So you see that Rav Huna holds adam makneh davar shelo baal olam. The Rav Nachman amar. Next shita is Rav Nachman. Af mishebaal le olam. Which means Rav Nachman holds in that same case. Even when they came into the world, Yachod Lachzor Bo. Why? Because Rav Nachman argues on Rav Huna. Rav Nachman holds in Adam Makneh Davar Shelo Ba Le'olam. And therefore he holds, even after the fruit came out, he's allowed to back out, because the sale was not a sale. However, Amar Rav Nachman Mudina, he says, and I do agree, the Isha Mit Ve'achil Lo Mafkinan Mine. That in the interim, which means once the fruits start coming out, and the seller, and the buyer starts eating from the fruit, we let him eat what he eats. What does this mean over here? That Nachman agrees that if, let's say, the buyer was eating from the fruits, that we let him eat the fruits and we don't take it away, even though the sale is nullified. Explanations like this. This guy told him, I'm selling you the pirot, correct? Now what happens? He comes in Nisan, the fruit came out already. He comes along and says, hey, you know what? I back out. Now really, he didn't even have to back out. Even without his backing out, according to the law of Rav Nachman, which means the sale was not a sale, regardless. But in this guy's mind, he's saying what? No, I have to back out, even though he doesn't have to back out. So in the interim, before he backs out, this guy was eating perot. Yeah. So therefore, we're going to say, you know what? Since he thinks he has to back out, we're going to say it's as if he was mohel him on whatever pirot that he ate, and therefore the fruit that he ate is okay. But indeed, the sale is not a sale according to Rav Nachman. Next shita is Rav Damar, Ravun Amar Rav, Haomer Lachavero. Guy tells his friend, Sadezu She'ani Lokeyach, this field over here that I'm going to buy, Lechshe'ikachena, when I buy it, Kinuya Lach Me'ashav, it's yours from now. And the deen is what? Kana. Even though he didn't buy it yet. So therefore he's being Mekne Davar, Shado Ba'ala Olam. Which means Reuven tells Shimon, I'm going to buy a field from Yosef. The second I buy the field from Yosef, it's yours. How can I make such a kinyan? And the deen is what? Kana. Based on the kinyan that was made before anything happens. You see, Rav also, Adam indeed is Mekne Davar Shado Ba'ala Olam. Next, Shitar Bi'anai, Kiribi Hayah. Which means you have two rabbis, Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Chaya. Which Rabbi Yanai holds like his rabbi, Rabbi Chaya, based on the following story. Those are two more rabbis that were on the list. What was the story? Rabbi Yanai havale arisa. Rabbi Yanai had a sharecropper. De'ava maitile chanta de pireh kol ma'ale shabbeta. Every item Shabbat, he would bring him a basket full of fruit. Like what Shabbat? Ha'hu yoma, one item Shabbat came, naga le vedo'ata. He was late, the guy. He didn't show up. So now, what happened? Yanai was assuming the guy is going to eventually show up, but if he shows up, he can't eat from it, because he cannot take ma'asrot and terumot on Shabbat, because it's considered like tikkun. So therefore, what did he do? He did the following. Shakal, he went and took asar meperi de bete alayu. He went and took from the fruit that he has in his house, and he took ma'asir on that fruit that was on the way. Now, that's what he did. And he went to ask Rav Chaya if what he did is legal. You did okay. Even though it's considered davar, why? Because you don't know if these items were even picked yet. Because if it wasn't picked from the field, there's no chayuv of terumot and ma'asrot. So the davar shelo ba'ala olam. And still what is he doing? He's making the kinyan now for something that's going to happen in the future. So they went to Rav Chaya. Rav Chaya told him, you know something? You did okay. So comes the Gemara and says, what's this proof to Tanya? We have a braita. Lema'an tilmad li'irat Hashem Elohecha kol hayamim. This pasuk is actually a pasuk that's referring to tiruma. And it says, when a person takes the tiruma, he will come to fear God all of the days. And it's talking about taking ma'asrot as well. So it says, if a person takes his tirumot and ma'asrot, he'll come to fear God all the days. So what do you mean, all the days? Elu Shabbatot v'yamim tovim. It's coming to say when you take it to the Mot Masrot, it's Kavod Shabbat. Which means what? So the Gemara says, Lema Hilcheta. What do you mean it's Kavod Shabbat? And Yom Tov. Idim al le'asure u'mechal. If it's coming to tell me that what? Regarding taking Ma'asir on Shabbat, it's Tarikh Ral le'mishle tiltul drabbanan. What is this question? Let's read Rashi. Let's start from the Ma'an Tilmad. Gabe Terumah Masrot Keti Va'achalta Lefnei Hashem Kol Yamim Elu Yamim Tovim V'Shabbatot Havila Med Leizaher, which is the Pasuk is teach me Shelo Lepatel Onik Shabbat Meshvi Tikkun HaTeben, which means don't take away the Onik Shabbat because of the Teben. You want to make sure that when you go into the Shabbat your Terumot Masrot are taken so you can enjoy the Shabbat. We want you to fear God on Shabbat Yamim Tovim. Lema Yilcheta Uman Tekra Lezer. What is the Pasuk coming to tell me? Maybe the pasuk is teaching me like this. Dafagav the b'shabbat who metakenan. Maybe you'll tell me what that is teaching me, that it's asur to make the terumot on Shabbat. Pshita v'chistarik ral mishnet tertud rabbanan, which means min a Torah separating terumot and maasrot is permissible on Shabbat. So the Torah cannot be coming to forbid that. Ela, what do you want to come and say? At the worst, terumot and ma'asrot can be on Shabbat is what? Asur b'tiltul, meaning mukseh. I mean, there is no mukseh either from the Torah. Hafrashat ma'asrot b'shabbat, ela mishum shevut. It's only asur to separate mishum shevut. Detan elu mishum shevut, no magbin terumot ma'asrot b'masrot b'sar. Ve'echa asar lankla, which is, what could the pasuk coming to be telling me? Tiltul be'alma, tiztarik le'mishliyacha, which means, you're coming to tell me what? That the tiltul of terumot and ma'asot is going to be asur? That cannot be. Which means, the Gemara is trying to understand, when the pasuk says, lema'an tilmad li'ira, We're saying what? When it comes to Terumot Masot, you have to have fear. On which days? Shabbatot Yemim Tovim. So Gemara says, what do you mean fear? You mean what? Don't take Terumot Masot. Torah cannot be telling me that, because really in the Torah, you're allowed to take Terumot and Masot. Oh, so therefore, what is it coming to tell me? Is it coming to tell me what? That, don't worry, this item that you took on Shabbat is not Mukseh. Do I need a pasuk to tell me it's not mukseh? There's no mukseh min haTorah. Therefore, min haTorah it's mutar to take it. Min haTorah it's not going to be mukseh. This is terumot masot. There's no mukseh min haTorah min haShabbat. So what is the Torah coming to be matir over here? Matir to take terumot masot, but it's mutar. Why should I think it's asur? It's asur. It's only asur b'tabanan. There's no isur min haTorah. Tiltun, why? Is it tell me what? That on Shabbat you can move the. I need the Torah coming to me. I can move mukseh. The mukseh mutar min haTorah. So you know what the pasuk is coming to tell me? Pasuk says like this: Ela lav ki ay gavna. It must be telling you in this case that what? When let's say you have fruit that are on the way, or you're assuming that they're on the way, you're allowed to take terumot and maasrot before they get there. Rashi ela lav ki ay gavna. The mutal le'asir amas shelo ba le'olam va'atid lavo le'sorich onik Shabbat. That's what it's telling the pasuk. So therefore, I have a clear pasuk that's coming to teach me that if Hiya told the Rav Yanai, you're allowed to take teruma on a davar shelo ba'olam. That's really not a kinyan, but that's more you're doing a ceremony on something that, because really not a kinyan. It's, but the pshat is that you're allowed to do something now, even though at the time that you're doing it, it did not come to the world yet. So therefore, same thing when it comes to kinyanim, it's the same concept. Now let's continue. The rabbis on the list. Comes Gemara and says, Amale. Story's not over. So when the Hiya asked, when the Hiya answered and told Rav Yanai, it's okay, Amale v'hai akriyan b'halma. He says, listen, I had a dream on Leil Shabbat, and they showed me the words in the dream from the pasuk, kaner ratzutz, a broken reed. So he's my love, hakamli. So Rav Yanai is interpreting his own dream. He says what they were probably telling me was hine batahta lecha al mishenet hakaneh ratzutz hazeh. You're relying on the broken reed. There's a pasuk like that, which really in Shabbat they were telling Rav Yanai, you did asur. You're relying on a broken reed. You had no hetir to take terumah before the fruit got to you. So and he says, no. He says, no, that's not the pasuk that we're quoting you. There's another pasuk in the Levim that says the word kaner ratzutz in a different context. And he told him, haki kami lecha, kaner ratzutz lo yishbor. The kaner ratzutz is not going to break. Upishta keha, and the flax that became dimmed, lo yikbenna. It's not going to become extinguished. And the end of that pasuk says, because that's the main part, la emet yotzi mishpat. The mishpat will come out emet, which really in Shamayim they were telling you, you did okay. So then Rav Chaya says, pay no attention to your dream. There's two pesukim. You're thinking of the wrong pasuk. Therefore, it's okay. Now we go to the next rabbi, the B, the Tanya. Lo tazkir eved el adonav, which simply means lo tazkir eved el adonav is that a person is not allowed to work a slave that he freed. Now, if that's the simple pshat, I don't need a pasuk for that. And the pasuk really is not mashma so much, I think, because it says lo tesgid eved. If he's freed, he's not considered an eved. So what is the pasuk coming to teach me? Rabbi Omer belokeyach eved al menat leshachrero akatu medaber. It's talking about a guy who's buying an eved with the intent to free him. And therefore, the Torah is telling you, if that's to the intent you bought the eved al menat to free him, you can't work him. What's the case? It's like the chtiv, the katav le. He wrote him in the star when he purchased him. He said, when I buy you, you're free from now. Now, what do you mean? How can such a kinyan work? He didn't buy him yet, and already he's freeing him. You see what? Pasuk saying, lo tazgin, you cannot work that guy in that case. Why? Because the kinyan is considered a kinyan, even though it's the vashul ba le'olam. Rashi, al menat teshachrero, umusah shul l'shtabed bo. The Torah is coming to tell me that he cannot work him. Rabbi Meir, what's the Rabbi Meir shita? Detnan, ha'omer li'isha, hare at mikudeshet li, la'achar she'etgayir. Right, we had this right now, we had this mishta actually on the last daf. Now what? You have to understand. The lady said, the guy tells the lady, "Harem kodesh li lahashkir." After I convert, lahashit kari. After you convert, lahash shtari. After I'm free, that's a eved. Lahash tishari shishifcha. After you are freed, lahash yamud baalech. after your husband dies, after your sister dies, he's married to his sister. Says after his wife dies, then I'll marry you. Or after halitza of your yavam, and I'm mikudeshet. Right. So the first shita said, and I'm mikudeshet. The bimir omer mikudeshet. That's the end of that mishnah. So you see what? Even though it's lo ba'le olam, he's saying it's okay. In all these cases, lo ba'le olam. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, how do you know the Tanya? Yetera kerama Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said even more than that, referring to a mishnah. What is this case that he was saying? So the Gemara says, afilu imamad. Let's say a person said like this, perot arugazu tilushim. Guy has a field. He has one row of his fruits already are talush. They're already plucked. So he says, the plucked fruits in this row, yehu tiruma al perot aruga mechubarim, will be tiruma for the fruits in the next row that are still attached. Or the opposite, perot aruga mechubarim, they'll be tiruma al perot zu tilushim. But he makes the condition, lichshiyavi uslish, when they reach a third of their growth, because that's when the hayuv of teruma comes, only at a third of its growth, v'yitlishu, and of course they are going to be plucked. That says v'heviu shlish, in the event if they reach the shlish, v'nitlishu, and they were plucked, devarav kayamim, based on what he said before they were plucked and before they brought a shlish. Now, according to the opinion that says Adam, in Adam Makne Devashilo Ba'ale Olam, he agrees he would be able to make the condition and say, if there were a shlish already, and he could say, listen, when they're plucked, that's not considered Lo Ba'ale Olam, because he could pluck them. It's Biyadot to pluck them. But this case is different. This guy's saying two things. When they're plucked, and when they reach a shlish. Now it's out of his hands to make them grow a shlish. And still, what is it saying? When they finally grow a shlish and they get plucked, the terumah is a terumah. So you see what? Makneh davar shelo ba'ale olam. Comes the Gemara and continues. Next shita, Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva, we learned this shita already. That's why the neder case. Kunam shani oseh leficha. She says, all my ma'aseh yadayim is going to be forbidden to you like korban, to your mouth like a korban. Eno sadik lafer. Right? The first shita says, you don't have to make hafara nedarim because she has no right to do that. Rabbi Akiva says, yafer. Why? Shimme ta'adif alav yeter minara uilo. Because maybe she's going to make more money than she's obligated to give him. So therefore on that, if he wants to keep it for himself, he's got to make the hafarat nedarim.
This is valid.
Right? Because it's valid. And therefore she can make such an edit. So if he doesn't want to make such an edit, he can bring it. So the bottom line, what do we see to this point? We saw all the shitot in the Gemara that hold, yes indeed, Adam makneh davar shelo ba le'olam. So let's just recap then the last sugya, because now we're going on to a new point. So basically the last point we said was that Rav Yanai said that the Habura got together, they voted that what? That if Yibama goes to another man before she makes halitza, it's no kiddushin is not hal, and therefore she just she goes out without anything. That was like the opinion of Rav that said kiddushin is not tofes. That's the way they voted. And then Rabbi Yochanan came along and said, "It's really a mishnah." Rabbi Yochanan says, "You're right, but you only know pshat in the mishnah after I revealed it to you." And then the Shtakish came along and said, "The truth of the matter is, without Rabbi Yochanan, I would have said that mishnah is talking about the Akiva." That's why it says there's no kiddushin, because in kiddushin tosim b'chaybe lavin. But the Gemara said, yeah, but you can't say it's a b'akiva, because if that's the case, it would be kiddushin, because he holds Adam makneh davar shelo ba'ale olam. Then we saw two views in the b'akiva, if he holds yeh makneh or not makneh. And this conclusion of our Gemara holds, indeed, the b'akiva is one of the rabbis on the list that says, en Adam makneh davar, sorry, yes, Adam ken makneh davar shelo ba'ale olam. Comes the Gemara and continues. Merav Sheshat. Okay, they asked the question to Rav Sheshat. Ed Echad Biyibama Mahu. Which means, let's say Ed Echad comes along and says, Met Baalich. What do we say the Gabe that Ed Echad? Do we allow her now to go with the Yavam? All we learn now, Ed Echad, she can go get married. But let's say she doesn't have children. Is the ed echad enough, effective enough? Now she can go with her brother-in-law to Yibum? Normally, your brother-in-law is Isur. Can I go with the brother-in-law? Eshet Ach. So are we going to say that what? That since you already have an ed echad, I'll let her even make a Yibum? What's the two sides of the question? Well, Ta'ama de ed echad mishum de milta da'avida le'igluye lo mishakir. Which means, the main reason why we believe in ed echad, why? Is because something that can become revealed, he's not going to lie. So the guy's going to come along and say, Met Ba'alich, he's not going to say it unless he's certain, because he can be disproven the next minute. The husband can come along and say, I'm here. So if on such a case where the guy knows that he can be disproven, he's not going to lie. Okay. If that's the reason why an Ed Echad is Ne'eman, V'achan Amir, lo mishakir. So why should it be different like a Yibum also? When she's coming, when the witness is coming and saying your husband died, it should allow her to already make a Yibum with the brother-in-law. Or then now maybe no. Or maybe I'll tell you that what the real reason why Ed Echad is Ne'eman, because it's a combination of the Ed Echad plus she does her due diligence before she's going to get married. Right? She's going to make sure that the guy is dead. However, sometimes the lady likes the brother-in-law. And therefore, lo daika minseba, which means in a case of Yibum, you could argue maybe she won't be daika minseba because she wants to marry. Therefore, one witness is not going to be enough. Which means, stam, when one witness comes along, I'll come along and say what? I believe it to marry the alma, somebody else, a stranger. But she ain't kin. Maybe I could argue in the case of the Yibum, maybe she has something with this Shevav. She knows him already. So it could be there's something going on over there. Therefore, one witness is not going to be enough because she's not daika. That's the two sides of the question. Amru Rav Shesha Tanitua. We learned it. Amru La. It's actually Am Mishnah. Amru La. Mit Benech V'Achal Kach Mit Ba'alich. Remember, the witnesses came and they testified in the following order. First they said your husband, your daughter, your son died. And then they testified what? That the husband died. Therefore she falls to Yibum according to this testimony. Right? So she went, she made the Yibum. Then what happened? They said the opposite happened. If there was no Yibum case, so what do we say? Tetzeh, she's got to leave the Yavam. And the children are obviously Mamzerim. Why are they Mamzerim? Because really, she is Eshet Ach. Which means this is a case where she's not allowed to be with the Yavam. Comes again and says, Hechidame. What was the case? Now we're going to the details of the case. What happened? If you're telling me it's two witnesses against two witnesses, which means the two witnesses first came along and said, you are subject to Yibum. Then two witnesses came along and said, you're not subject to Yibum, it's two against two. If that was the case, my hazit samachtane, smuchtane. Who told you to rely on the second two witnesses more than the first two witnesses? Why are you saying, Tetzeh, Bavarad, Mamzerim? Who said you have two against two over here? And the Gemara is assuming in this case, two against two. I say, you know what? Let us stay status quo. And furthermore, Mamzer, Safek Mamzeru. And at worst, how could the Mishnah call the children Mamzerim? At worst, they're only Safek Mamzerim. Because it's two against two. So the Mishnah wouldn't use the word Mamzer. So the Gemara, on the second question, the Gemara says, okay, maybe that might not be a question. V'chi tema lodak. Maybe you'll tell me now, when the Mishnah says Mamzer, it means a Safek Mamzer. Well, the Gemara don't, can't be. V'ham mediktani sefa. In the last case of the Mishnah, Harishon Mamzer v'acharon eno Mamzer, shma mina davka ketani. What was that case? That was a case where, let's say, one witness came along and said, Mit Ba'alich, she got married, right? Another witness came after and said, or two witnesses came after and said, no, he wasn't dead, but now he's dead. So what do we say? The first kid is a real Mamzer, and the second kid is not a Mamzer. Now, when the Mishnah said the second kid is not a Mamzer, because not a Mamzer, because the guy really died at that point. Okay. But you have to know the law, really. That second kid is a Mamzer Midrabanan. Because really, we want this lady to get away from this guy. We don't want them to stay together. So the rabbis put Mamzer Drabanan. We see the Mishnah did not discuss Mamzer Drabanan. The Mishnah just says, the first one is a Mamzer, the second one is not a Mamzer. Which we're discussing conclusive. Yes or no? We're not discussing Mamzer the Rabbanan. And therefore, don't come and tell me that when the Mishnah, in the case of the Yibum, right? You're going to come and tell me, two witnesses came along and said, she is subject to Yibum. Two other witnesses came along and said, she's not subject to Yibum, right? So the Gemara said, what do you mean? He says, you're going to call her the kids of Mamzer in this case? It's a fake Mamzer. And don't tell me that the Mishnah is lo dak. Don't tell me the Mishnah is not precise. When it says the word Mamzer, it means Safek Mamzer. Don't say that, because when the Mishnah later on says the first kid's a Mamzer and the second kid is not a Mamzer, so you see what? When it says not a Mamzer, really according to the law it's a Mamzer, which means the Mishnah would say it. And from the fact that Mishnah, you see, the Sefer did not say it, so therefore when it says in the beginning Mamzer, it means Mamzer, Vadai. It's just like in the Sefer. It's Mamzer Vadai, and Eno Mamzer means nothing. So to what it said in the beginning, Mamzer, it means Mamzer Vadai. So comes the Gemara's question and says, well, so what's the point now? So Gemara says, Rashi. Oh, so look at the Gemara says, Ela Lav Shva Mina. Good. Now, Ela Lav Shva Mina, what's the case talking about? Had. Must be he's talking about where there's one witness. One witness says that she's subject to Yibum. And what? V'tama da'atu betre achashe. Then two came along and said she's not subject to Yibum. And that's why we said what? Tetze mize. Right? Because why they consider Mamzini? Because the two witnesses are going to be believed. However, ha lav achashe. But if the two witnesses didn't show up, me'eman. I would believe her. Meaning what? You see that on one witness I would allow Yibum. So to answer the original question, can one witness allow Yibum? You see, the only reason why we said Tetze is because it was followed up by two witnesses. But in the case where there's no two witnesses that come, the one witness is going to be enough to say that what is going to be Ne'eman.
Mishnah said Amru.
Yeah, but that could always be Amru Mepia Dechat. It's like the first Mishnah in the Perek said, Amru was talking about Edehad. So therefore, the bottom line Ayah is like this, from the case of the Mishnah. Case of the Mishnah, one witness came along and said, you're subject to Yibum. Good, she went, she made Yibum. Wasn't two witnesses come along and say, you're not subject to Yibum. What do we say? Tetzeh, Velad Mamzerim, everything like that. Master, only because two witnesses came along and contradicted them. If the two witnesses didn't come and contradict, what would we say? You believe the Edehad. They would do what? To make Yibum. So therefore, we have an Ayah. Comes the Gemara and says further. Ika de Amar. There's some that say a little differently. Halotiv ilach. Don't ask that. You have a question. If one witness comes along, can she make a yibum? Of course she can make yibum. De afilu ihi nameh mehemna. Which means even she herself is believed. Which means the Gabe Yibum, even she herself has a ne'emanut. What do you mean? Detnan. Ha'isha she'amra. Med ba'ali t'naseh. If she says, med ba'ali, we let her get married. Med ba'ali t'tyabim. And we also let her get married to make Yibum. Now if you're going to believe her, kol shekin you believe in it, they're hot. So that's not a question. Oh, if you want to ask a question, ask the following. The opposite. Can you believe one witness to matir the yivama to the shuk? What would the testimony be? So that she says, Edehad matira l'shuk shomer la met yibimech o met ba'alech v'harkach met benech. Which is, he says one of two things. Let's say Edehad comes along and says, there was a lady, she was married, her husband died without children. Beautiful. One witness comes along and says, the Yavam died. The Yavam wasn't around, so you're not subject to Yibum. You can go get married. That's one way we would have a case where one witness can break a Yibum potentially. Or the one witness comes along and says, your husband died first and then your son died. In that case, also he's telling her what? No Yibum, she's free to go to the marketplace. So the Sheila is, when one witness comes with one of those two testimonies, are you going to believe him or not? So the Gemara analyzes, well, my tama de edehad. But what's the reason why you generally believe in edehad? Mishum demelta David al Galuya, because you're going to end up finding out. Well, lo meshaker, that's why it doesn't lie. Hakaname lo meshaker. Well, at least in the first case, when he comes along and says the Yavam died, yeah. Well, you got to believe him because he's not going to lie on something he can be disproven on. Or Bilmal, maybe I'll go the other way. Maybe I'll tell you, Tama de Edehad Mishum Diyu Daika Uminseba. I'll tell you, you know why you believe in Edehad? Because combined with the fact that she does a due diligence to go make sure the guy's dead, so that's why you believe it. Well, Beha Lo Daika Uminseba. In this case over here, she might not be Midayek. She might just get married right away. You know why? De Misnahu De Sanyale. Because she might hate the Yavam. And therefore, if she hates the Yavam, she's going to want to get married to somebody else, just so she doesn't have to fall to the Yavam. So I could say maybe Edehad will not be Matir. So comes the Gemara and leaves that in the question. And then the next daf, Rav Sheshad is going to give an answer. So let's just review what we did in these two questions. The first question we had was what? Edehad, will it Matira to make Yibum? And the answer to the Gemara is yes indeed. What's the proof? She herself can testify. So Kol Shekin, somebody else in Edehad. So the question that the Gemara raised was, which we're going to leave till the next daf, was what about a Edehad saying that she's Mutal Lashuk, meaning testify that Met Yebmech, Yavam died, or your husband died the first and then the child died. Do we believe that? And that way the Gemara is going to explain. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen.